The following is a presentation of WrestleChat.net and the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
I'm Bedazzled. This is my beatboxer, Curly Kane. Hit it, Curly. When we first won the titles, it was I, but now it's we. Our friendship has grown deeper than the roots of an oak tree. But still I'm underrated, and still I'm undersmarted. When I hooked him in the ring, it smelled like he had farted. Did he really do the deed, or was that just my upper lip? When we were in the ring, I gave his glove a sniff. He hasn't washed a thing in 15 years. It isn't that he's scary, it's his smelliness we fear. Kane is super smelly. Kane is, come on, Curly. Kane is super smelly. Ah! Ah!
Ah! Hey, it's catchy. It's catchy.
Kane is super smelly.
A dwarf! Stop!
Not again.
Huh! Take that, Yoshi. Bedazzled. Curly Kane. Full life. Huh!
I just want to be a bear.
And just another day here at the office, as in the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have a handful of the usual suspects around the table tonight. First, our dear, dear friend from the soon-to-be-not-so-white North, Trista Timpson.
Hey, guys. This is still light, actually. It snowed today, so true story.
Let's see. Somewhere hiding in the Midwest under a pile of paperwork, Josh Henniger.
Hiding under a pile of paperwork. Hospital paperwork.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And the potential cause of that hospital paperwork, our resident weapons expert, Brian Henniger.
Hit him with a folding chair.
And if, Jesus and if
you,
Christ.
And... If you were looking quickly on Main Event, you would have seen me holding up a sign that said that.
Yes, but then the security guards came by and said, nope, that's too silly. Sorry, way too silly. Much too silly. You must hand that over now.
No one likes a good laugh more than I do. Well, except for my wife. Oh, yes, and my uncle. But I thought it was at the point.
No, the point is that you were fortunate enough to attend... this past week's SmackDown tapings, and I know you didn't have the greatest time, but you got to experience pretty much, you know, where I'm usually flopped, and that's down at the down on the floor seats.
Yeah, it was I was fourth row from the ring, and I'd never been that close before, and I'm not going to lie to you. I actually had looking back on, I actually had a lot of fun. It was a pretty cool experience. I'd never been that close to any of the wrestlers before. So it was something different for me, but I was happy, but I actually did have a really good time.
No, that's, and you weren't that hard to point out. I mean, you said you had a bright orange shirt on.
And I'm 6'5", so.
And you were, seriously, no, he was camera side center. If you missed him, it was because somebody was standing in front of him.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking about a wrestler on the other side of the guardrail. No, wow. I saw your sign, and I apologize that it got taken away from you. That is, that's on arena security.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I'll tell you.
Why did they take it away? What did it say?
Well, it said hit him with the folding chair. And what happened was I had it up during main event, and I held it up a little bit during the Battle Royal, which you may have seen. And then during the Battle Royal, I hear one of the security guards just runs up behind this guy sitting next to me. He goes, I have to take your sign. And the guy had like six. He said, which one? She said, the one hit him with the folding chair. I said, no, that's mine. And I handed it to her, and she goes, I said, well, why are they taking it away? She just says, oh, it's too big. I'm sorry.
Weird.
And so they took it away from me.
I saw a big... I saw signs bigger than that to your left in the same section. So...
Yeah, I'm thinking they were just saying that to make me feel better. I think maybe the wording wasn't quite PG.
Oh, they were just grumpy because you had a specific request.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm just putting it out there.
You're just trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents here.
I'm trying to help.
I know, and you're doing a good job, but I will say this, at least main event, the introduction, actually, we got to see some pyro, which they've been cutting back on quite a bit lately.
Yeah, and I actually do need to speak of main event. Well, you guys had a couple of good matches on main event. They've fallen into a really bad habit, and I was hoping it was just because it was WrestleMania season. Now, Trista, Statboy, do either of you watch main event on a regular basis?
I don't even know what channel it's on.
It's on.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know if I get
Ion. I don't.
Okay. Well, let me. I'll elaborate. When main event started, one of the things that was really exciting about it is that they would do these video packages about two of the people that they would be showcasing on the show. And you would get you probably only get two matches, but both matches were, 15-minute matches, 15, 20-minute matches, something you typically didn't get on Monday night and sometimes got on Friday nights. Lately, however, it's been one good match, one quick match, and the shows have been ending on video packages.
Oh, God, old ECW style.
Which, I thought this was just for WrestleMania season, Statboy, because I can understand, hey, we've got another avenue here. Let's put up a video package or two and let people know about Mania if they just happen to be channel surfing past us. But Mania's over. Mania's done.
Yeah.
They've already packed up the replica of the Statue of Liberty.
And it's in the warehouse, and we're going to have to go get it out. It's just disappointing to me because I've looked forward to main event on Wednesday nights. I really enjoyed some of the things they did with the first couple of episodes. For example, one of the first episodes, CM Punk was featured, and they actually did this wonderful video package where they quoted a couple of things from the pipe bomb promo.
Mm-hmm.
And had some wonderful video of him just backstage, some of his action, but it was something that I would bundle up and show at a pay-per-view. It was something I would expect to see on a pay-per-view or maybe even on Raw, but on a C show?
At the time, it was insane, but unfortunately, it's a come to the superstars rule or God knows what else.
Which bothers me, but...
Yeah.
Although outside of that... Well, let me ask you this, Brian. Was there anything else cool that wasn't on camera that we need to know about from your experience, besides the whole nonsense with the signs? And I know you had some unruly kids in your section.
Well, what we had was a couple of situations where a lot of these kids, bless their heart, they couldn't see. Mm-hmm. What was going on. They couldn't actually see what was going on. So their mom and dad were helping them stand on a chair, which I know was very dangerous and they shouldn't have done it. But they did it anyway. And security would go right up next to them and they would say, you sit them down or you're both leaving the building. you know, stuff like that. And again, I'm chalking that up to the security detail that we had there, which...
Well, in their defense, kids standing on the chairs the way the chairs are designed on the floor, if the seat snaps back and that kid hurts himself...
It's on the arena.
It's on the arena. It's a lawsuit.
Right.
So, you know, and the parents should know that. And, you know, when everybody stands up for entrance and exits, okay, go ahead, put your kid on your shoulders. I'm okay with that because that's only going to happen for a couple of minutes.
There is one cool thing that you probably didn't get to see, though.
Okay.
We had about six guys come in, and they had seats right next to the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
They cosplayed as professional wrestlers.
Cool. Who were they dressed as?
Okay, I had the picture and I posted it. One was Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
One was Ric Flair. One was Roddy Piper. One was the Big Boss Man. How he snuck in the nightstick, I have no idea.
I was gonna say I couldn't even get a roll of duct tape into the Joe. Go on.
One was Jerry the King Lawler, and one was the Ultimate Warrior.
Okay, that's awesome.
And the cool part was they were up in the front foyer before the show, and we were just kind of I saw them, and me and the guy as Ric Flair, we did a strut off like just impromptu.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I did the thing where I was gonna shake his hand, then I pulled my hands back. I did the Fargo strut. I looked at him and I just went, woo! And he thought that was awesome. And everyone around us, we were just, we were some special kind of crazy.
I can see that. No, but that's the fun of the cosplaying wrestlers. And DJ claims that I have started something because of my frequent attendance in proper uniform.
Hmm?
Well, DJ Packins posted in our news site a picture of a couple of kids, one dressed as Jim Cornette and another one dressed as Vader.
But he couldn't have been Cornette. He wasn't cussing enough.
We couldn't tell. It was only a picture. There was no accompanying audio. But there's a group of guys that I'm aware of who used to do this on a regular basis. I don't think it was them at your show, Brian, and I'm going to give these guys.
So
I'm going to give this a quick shout out to the Midwest Jobbers Association. This was a group of guys who I met at a house show almost 10 years ago, and they were dressed as. Let me see if I can remember the picture off the top of my head. No, screw it. I'm going to pull the picture up. It's on my website. One of them was dressed as Hollywood Hogan. One of them was dressed as Roddy Piper. You know, easy stuff, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
One of them was dressed as the Hurricane.
What's up with that?
What's up with that? It was a good costume. One was Chris Jericho.
Ooh.
One was the Undertaker. Dead Man Undertaker.
Hmm.
One of them was John Cena. Thuganomics era. And one white guy dressed as Tajiri.
Did he have the green tongue?
No, but he had a t-shirt with Tajiri written on it, just in case you weren't sure.
I was going to tell you one more thing.
Sure.
When I was at WrestleMania 2 years ago in the Georgia Dome, there was one guy, these two guys walked past us, and I swear to you, this is true. One of them was dressed as Bobby the Brain Heenan in the black sequin jacket.
I think you've told the story, but go on.
The other one was dressed as the Red Rooster.
That takes balls.
Yeah.
Speaking of some stuff we got to see at the arena, Miss Heyman, could I call upon your services as an actress for just a second, please?
Of course.
Okay, I want you to pull out. I sent you a link in there. Apparently, because this goes back to what happened on Raw, Mr. Heyman has issued a prepared statement about CM
yes.
Punk's his departure. I was hoping maybe you could favor us with a brief reading of it from your repository.
absolutely. Let me see, because it didn't come. It just took me straight to your page.
You got to scroll down a little bit because I posted the full picture. That was on the Titantron.
Okay, because they also showed it again on Main Event.
Yeah, and that's when I took the picture during the Main Event taping.
Okay. Ah, here we go. This was something I was definitely going to touch on. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and build up around it, and then I will go ahead and read it, if you'll oblige me, Brian.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt the flow of the show. I just thought you might like that.
No. This is a good little segue. I'm going to put something else in there. Monday night, we had CM Punk come out to hopefully cut an epic promo to talk about his unfortunate defeat at the hands of The Undertaker. And he tried. He really tried. He just kind of didn't want to be out there, judging from the look in his eyes. Trista, did you see the sadness in his eyes while he was trying to explain himself?
Yes.
I mean, my dear Uncle Paul was right next to him, trying to encourage him. You could hear him say, "Yes, you still are the best in the world." While Punk attempted to try to get the words out, to try to tell us how he felt. And it's hard to call yourself the best in the world when you lose a match, even if it is to The Undertaker at WrestleMania. An inevitability, yes. But still, it was a blow to his ego, and he could not complete his statement. Statboy, a rumor broke out that Punk lost his temper before this promo happened, and the fact that he did not want to go out there and whine.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Only to a small degree do I. I think it's more along the lines of, I think he was just getting tired, and from what I've heard, he's been kind of hurt as of late, so he's just saying, enough, I just want to take some time off, let me be.
And this was part of the reason we knew that Punk was going to get killed at Mania, Brian, that, you know, he was going to be able to take some time off, especially after the fact that he banged up his knee even more when the Spanish announce table decided not to give.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Apparently they imported that table from All Japan Women, apparently.
Wow. I am the table!
Somewhere in the background, I hear Matthew. So,
Shimafu.
So Punk. So, go ahead, Statboy. Finish the laugh. So, Punk didn't finish his promo. He, you know, dropped the microphone and he left. He and dear Uncle Paul left, and of course that left all these questions up in the air. So, my dear Uncle Paul prepared a statement to at least assuage the fans. Is that a good word for that, Statboy?
Yeah. Massage? Yes.
Assuage.
Whatever it is.
I might be mispronouncing it, but...
No, you're saying it right.
Okay. So, a statement was released to explain the unfortunate circumstances of Monday. So from my dear Uncle Paul's office, we received the following missive, and I quote, "As CM Punk's personal advisor, I appreciate the fact that the WWE Universe has questions regarding its actions on Monday night, ranging from debating his future with the company to questioning his sanity. Rather than rumor-mongering like a book club of housewives, perhaps their attentions would be better shifted to one Hunter Hearst Helmsley, who has yet to respond to the gauntlet thrown down by my client, Brock Lesnar, on Monday night. If Triple H can tear himself away from creating corporate synergy, Brock, myself, and the entire WWE Universe eagerly await his response. Thank you." Unquote.
Bait and switch, la 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 la, bait and switch.
Nikki, that was beautiful.
Thank you. No, it's look at this shiny thing over here. Look at the shiny thing over here.
Sorry, I don't see it.
But it's shiny.
It might be shiny, yes, but you're not answering the question.
It's shiny and it's also 1 and 2, so.
But just pay attention to that, because CM Punk does need some time to himself, because he really didn't want to blow up on the fans on the mic.
All right, fuck you.
You know, you don't want that. You don't want that happening on your PG show.
Sure, you don't. And all of a sudden, the only thing I hear in my back of my head is, "Oh my."
So, now I mentioned that rumor. Now I'm going to posit to you, Brian.
Yes.
Some people have said that this is CM Punk losing his smile. Some people are saying, no, this was all part of the plan. Your thought.
Can I get a little philosophical here?
Do you need more room?
No.
Okay.
No. John Milton has a great quote. The legend always goes that, what is the story? That after Alexander the Great looked upon his domain, he wept because there were no worlds left for him to conquer. Perhaps CM Punk has reached that moment where he realizes this is the one thing I may never be able to do. The one thing I may never be able to accomplish, and that is etch your name in stone as the one who ended the streak. Maybe CM Punk is beginning to doubt himself and thinking, you know, can I really be the best in the world if I can't beat the best at WrestleMania?
No, that's a good insight. The fact that, you know, he has been to the top of the mountain. He's done a lot of things that a lot of wrestlers wish they could do. But breaking the streak, that's the holy grail. And I don't think anybody's going to be allowed to have that. So, Trista, your thoughts on this situation?
I think Punk should get a break. Dude busted his ass for more than a year as champion. Lost Amen. The title to the fucking Rock of all people. Like, you know what, kayfabe or not, I hope he does kind of go away for a while just so he can gather his thoughts and, I don't know, go from there. Maybe he's done with wrestling. Who knows?
There's been...
Go away for a while, CM Punk.
Yeah. Go home. Rest that knee up. There's plenty of Diet Pepsi in the fridge.
And hopefully we'll be able to hear you live.
Baseball season just started. You can go watch the Cubs.
Or maybe wind up live from the studio. Apartment in Chicago, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean.
I can just see him kick back with a tub of popcorn and a couple of sodas and Colt Cabana and sit there watching baseball and crack jokes.
And deciding to finally have that long-awaited rematch with King Hippo.
Yes. Or at least until Brodus Clay changes his gimmick.
and they beat Piston Honda twice.
Oh boy. Geekity,
none of these jokes are working with this audience, are they?
Well, actually, it's not that it isn't funny, but I just got some breaking news. Okay. I've sent to you folks a YouTube link that was sent to me from a anonymous source down in the Sunshine State that Zack Ryder has gotten his arm twisted into relaunching Z Long Island Story.
Ooh.
Now, I have not watched the video yet. but I thought I would at least poke my head in on it, and I've been ordered to at least look at the end of it. Okay. I'm going to mute it so that I can listen to it.
What? I just seen the whole video. It's not very long out there, 38 seconds worth, but my God. I think they're finally going to pull the trigger.
Ooh.
But release them?
No.
No, more like a full-blown, I'm sick and tired of being stepped on heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone could pull it off, it might be him.
Yeah.
I think this is going to give us a new meaning to sick. Anyway, And
because if you've been noticing, he's been wearing those push me trunks for the last few months.
And that button, I think somebody pushed a different button saying, oh, we'll push you, all right. The door's over there. And that's what, you know, that's the one thing we don't want. I don't want to see happen to him. I know, Trista, you've said in the past that he'd be better served taking some time away from WWE or taking a shot in another league.
Yeah, maybe like a league in Florida where they like this type of character.
But they already have Robbie E.
So they'll make him a tag team.
God help us. Oh.
Between the two of them, they would cause a shortage of hair gel in the greater Orlando area.
Are you sure it's just going to be the greater Orlando area?
They don't run out of anything in the greater Orlando area, and that includes tourists and sunglasses and
baby oil. Do not want.
Although, speaking of down there, TNA has probably made a good decision in going on the road as WWE is slowly creeping in and taking over the place. The new facility that they're assembling down there sounds really impressive. Have you guys read any on this?
Oh yes,
I have.
Oh yes.
I mean, from what I can gather, they're trying to make a true state of the art facility.
And think about this: they're not just training wrestlers there.
Yeah. From what I know, aren't they going to be moving the facilities to there once, or for NXT once it's fully up and at them?
Yes. And instead of just using, a handful of interns, they're actually going to, it sounds like it's going to be set up where there's going to be full paid internships. So that they'll actually be training production crew. Meaning they will have on hand extra people who can run a handheld, who can run a hard cam. Mm. Who can travel with the organization. That means fewer personnel at arenas as they have their people. WWE has their own people pulling their cable, you know, hooking up their mics, hooking up their cameras. Having a reliable crew for television production is somebody who's worked in this field is one of the biggest headaches you need to cure if you're going to do live television.
Mm-hmm.
But the facility is going to have multiple rings for training and for video production purposes. This also means that any homegrown talent are not only going to be trained in actual wrestling, but they're also going to learn the television production side of it. This is something that doesn't get thought about a lot in the independent circuit.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian, you've been to a lot of non-WWE and non-TNA shows.
Yes.
So think about that. You notice that when performers are out there, they talk to the entire building.
That's right. They don't necessarily work towards the camera because they're trying to sell to those, you know, 200-300 people who are in the arena. And, you know, this may sound corny, but you kind of have to learn how to play to a camera. That was something that used to be taught to you a lot when you were working the independent circuit, and that's how some of the big names got over. And I'm with you. I think this is a very smart move for the WWE because, you know, you as good of a director as Kerwin Silfels is, and as good of a director as Brian Giewertz is, and all these other people, you have to start training the next generation of these people who can take over the business when they choose to retire.
And that also goes for their camera staff, because yes, Marty, Rico, and Stu have been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, I meant to tell you, when I was at the show,
yeah,
I thought of you for this one reason.
What's that?
I got to see the female Jimmy.
You saw Sassy. Okay.
I saw Sassy.
Okay. So yeah, she seems to be the one that's been around a lot. Okay. Ooh. Okay, here you go. 100 high wage jobs in Orlando created by this facility, 26,000 square feet, 7 separate training rigs, a strength and conditioning program, and cutting-edge edit and production facilities. Ooh. Oh. Yeah.
And that is the sound of Nikki Heyman's queen.
Just a little bit. Just to be down there and be in the middle of all that. I can work either side of the camera.
Wait, you do have a degree in it. Why don't you go for it?
Because that means I'd have to pack and move again.
Fair enough. And you've been done enough of that for a while.
So, trust me, I might still throw my hat at it just to see what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they would pay relocation. And the
now,
fact
I know they pay that for their wrestlers.
Right. But would they pay that for a television production person?
That I don't know.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
That is very true. So I will probably throw something at it and see what happens. The worst that they can do is not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my dad always taught me a long time ago, and back some time ago when I was looking for another job, and I just kept putting in applications. Whenever I got discouraged, my dad, you know, would always say to me, the worst thing anyone can ever say to you is no.
And in this climate, there is actually a step worse than no, and that's silence.
Yeah.
So, and that's usually what you get.
Don't I know it.
But something that I think is really going to bolster WWE in several different directions. This is a stroke of genius. So more points to the boss, Dr. Levis Q, for getting something like this rolling, because it will be the combination of having this state-of-the-art facility to train new talent, to reach out to the independent circuit, to bring in some experienced talent, guys who know what they're doing in the ring, just need a couple of touch-ups, and then we're going to throw them on TV. Including a name that has been thrown around on this show with some impunity. Going rumor.
And that's Word Wang.
Yes. But I pray that this rumor is true. Sammy Callahan got signed.
Oh, yes.
Are you thinking that we're going to see the return of the Switchblade conspiracy?
Indirectly, if they can get him in quick enough, because I'm sure right now he's going through all the medical crap. They get him in quick enough, you put him in the Shield.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And, well, I was thinking of another tag team, but I don't think that'll ever work.
Who dat?
Eric Kent, the DUF, the Dirty Ugly.
Yeah, them.
It'll never work, unfortunately.
Well, Eric's not signed either.
Yeah, he'll never be signed.
Eric whom?
Eric Cannon.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
He was up here a few weeks ago for the Jerry Lynn show.
Jerry Lynn! Sorry.
No, that's fine. He was the brave soul who actually took on Sabu and lived.
Somehow.
Yeah. Trista, you are not impressed with... Trista Timpson is not impressed with Eric Cannon.
I'm not a fan of Eric Cannon at all. I do not like him. That's all. Seen him live. It was boring. Made me wish I was a smoker so I could go outside and not watch his match. But hey, that was a few years ago. Maybe he's changed since then. I don't know.
So, but as the going rumor is that Sammy has signed and he's just going through the medical processes. I don't want to spread any rumors, but I just hope I'm right and I just hope it's true.
Brian, you take this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
No.
May I please have your attention?
I said no. Stop
and it. And I don't care. Just kidding. We have just received a message from the anonymous general manager of the North American Wrestling Connection. On my Tandy Radio Shack 1000 SL2.
Jesus motherfucking tamp dancing Christ, what the hell?
I might have actually used one. I want to look at this thing first. No, not that one. Not that one. But that's okay. Let me see what I've got here. GM happens to say da 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 da. Damn it, GM.
I thought you were going for the I Dream of Genie song.
No. And underneath it in tiny little letters he wrote earworm. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. WWE can't look a gift horse in the mouth without beating it. So you need to talk some. You need to scratch your heads a little bit about Fandango. Also, do something that Cena forgot to do on Monday. Talk ever briefly about Boston. Mm. Plus, you have two monsters you have to discuss further. Yes, we do. We need to talk a little Lesnar, and we need to talk a little Ryback. But I think first we're going to take a little break. Guys and gals, restrooms are open, the snack machines are plugged in. Go ahead and grab a snack. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
how many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com, the newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
This is Ethan Muslin, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
I'll take entertaining answers for 800.
We're back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Stat Boy Josh Henniger, Ryan Henniger, and Trista Timson. Now, in the first part, I mentioned that my dear Uncle Paul has been going, look at the shiny. While CM Punk goes home and rests up his knees, he wants us to pay attention to Lesnar. The gauntlet had been thrown down. That the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, and I got to stop calling him evil, has been challenged to a good old-fashioned steel cage match at Extreme Rules. Now, Trista, I know you're not a Triple H fan.
Mm-hmm.
But your thought?
Triple H and Lesnar at Extreme Rules? I don't know. I think it's kind of predictable. I think Triple H is going to win it because, you know, Triple H. That's all I got. Like, I just don't like the feud. I think it's boring, and I didn't even watch their match at Mania, so I'm a negative standpoint for this conversation.
No, that's fine. That's understandable. As a fan of both of them, I didn't like their Mania match either, but with a cage match, Brian, they don't have to rely as much on wrestling moves and still make it look pretty brutal.
That's true. And part of the reason why that match was bad, from what I've been told, is because apparently Brock got a concussion 90 seconds in.
Hmm.
Well, not a concussion, but he said he was concussed 90 seconds in, so he got his bell rung.
Hmm.
But I'm like you. I mean, I have an affinity for an old-fashioned steel cage match. They're obviously going to be playing off of Lesnar's MMA background in this.
Right.
So, you know, hey, I'm going to say right now, if any two guys can turn it on for this sort of thing, I actually trust that it might be Lesnar and Triple H.
Statboy, even given the attempted brutality at WrestleMania, this seems to be a pretty tame stip for these two.
You don't say. Because from what we've seen at Mania, the whole Kimura game, it's like, yeah, this just seems perfectly pedestrian.
When my Uncle Paul was out there making the announcement, I was kind of I was thinking that they would try for a First Blood match, but First Blood matches don't tend to work the way they're usually scheduled to do, because somebody hard ways the wrong way, and yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Match over.
Yeah.
The infamous 90-second Catch-as-Catch-Ken match, if you guys remember.
Which one was this?
Malenko versus someone. It was 2000 WCW, early 2000, or 99, right before they left for WWF.
Yeah, it was Malenko. Oh, gosh. I want to say it was Malenko versus Billy Kidman.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Billy Kidman. Luckiest bastard on the face of the earth.
And still has a job.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's in merchandising, but he is still employed with the Fed.
Yeah.
So a steel cage match, all right, but there better be a shit ton of weapons involved, and there better be some broken cages, and there better be some blood. But maybe that's just me. Now. The other big guy we need to talk about. Actually, which big guy should we talk about first? Cena or Ryback? Since these two are kind of entwined.
How about we go with heavy weapons guy?
That could be the one.
How about Ryback?
Okay. Ryback, who, you know, for all intents and purposes, a lot of casual fans would take as the bona fide dumb muscle. Doesn't have to say much, gets everybody going on the feed me more chant. Yet he cuts this intense, convincing, complete, and I'll use my other wonderful word, continuity, in explaining why he's mad at Cena. Now, Stapboy, while we were having chips during the break, you hit the nail on the head. This sounded like a Bully Ray promo.
Oh God, admittedly, I did not watch Raw live. I did watch it on a tape delay on. Yeah. But what I seen, oh my God. That was crazy. And yes, it definitely evoked a lot of the whole Bully Ray issue with how he tricked everyone into saying, hey, I'm not into the whole I'm the leader of aces and eights. Admittedly, this didn't end with Ryback as champion. John Cena defeated, a word you can't say.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is this. Woof, woof.
Well, let's put... we're still in the middle of the storyline. So it's, you know, we could end up down the road with Ryback as champion.
Yes.
And the one who orchestrated the Shield.
Ooh. That'd be nice. That'd be very nice. But the problem is...
What, yeah. Are you going to try to inject logic into this?
No. That's the problem. Can you inject logic into this without it falling to pieces?
Ryback the Lone Wolf wants the heavy muscle for Nexus. You're probably right. No.
You know what? If they have soap writers on their creative team, I'm sure they can think of something.
They'll twist something around with this Trista, but... not even taking Cena hate into the equation. Does this really make Ryback a heel?
No.
Good, I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a matter of... you know, okay, fine, you've been on this redemption mission that John Cena did not need. I'm sorry, you know, Superman does not need redemption. So Ryback is pretty much, you know, pretty much hitting all the right notes in my direction. I just don't see him doing this as a bad guy.
Well, see, WWE does this really stupid thing with their heels, and that they make their heels right. Like, their actions are justified. I can't boo someone where I'm like, hey, that makes sense.
And we've had that, you know, I've seen that with a few other heels. There are some heels that can do it where they'll say the right thing the wrong way. JBL was a master at this. Where he could say something in his early days as Super Republican, he would say something, and I would say, "Yeah, wait, no, boo, damn it, he's right, but boo, but he's right."
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how he said it, but he's right. So, I don't at this point. I don't see Ryback as a heel. And I even enjoyed the fact, and I know Trista enjoyed the fact, that the Shield just beat the high holy hell out of John Cena.
Woo! They're my boys.
Of course. Oh, no. Roman Reigns is your boy.
He is my boy.
Forever and ever, amen.
If I was in school, I think my notebook would just have hearts with Roman Reigns in the middle of it.
But as you said, that is something that definitely lessens the gravity in your area. I know.
Eh, whatever. I live in my own world. It's a happy place.
You're loud. We all need a happy place.
You're welcome.
It's like what I like. It's like what I like to say. I live in my own little world, but it's okay. They know me here.
Exactly. So. Although Ryback tried to push the envelope, the tweet has since been pulled down along with a ton of others. But Ryback really stuck something really sharp in Cena's back when he said, "Watching the pain on Cena's face was worth standing back for. Funny the two things that he says I lack. What's between my ears and what's between my legs is what his ex-wife seems to love."
Yow!
In the words of Chris Jericho, burn!
Yeah.
I can see why WWE probably had him take that tweet down.
And everything else.
And quite a few other things. Because it's like, ooh, maybe that's a little... That's not PG. It's funny, though.
Very funny.
Yeah, that's an even better way of putting it. oh, dick move! I need to get the original quote of that. Let's see. Speaking of messing with a character, since WWE seems to be so hell-bent on turning Ryback heel, they're also being hell-bent on trying to keep Fandango heel. Brian, explain this to me.
Okay.
Fandangoing goes viral the week after WrestleMania.
Yes.
Meaning mainstream interest, meaning random appearances, random of this music and people dancing to it in non-wrestling markets. Starting a phenomenon that's right up there with the Harlem Shake, Gangnam Style, Macarena, whatever you want to look at.
And Waz Up.
Why are they trying to kill it?
I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you. I don't. I really, really don't. I will say that when we were in Knoxville, we did hear some fandangling, but it wasn't like it was in New York.
Okay.
I think I have a theory.
What's that?
I'm listening.
Force something onto people enough, they won't like it. So now, when they're forcing fandangoing onto people, they're not going to want to do it, which means that now they have a reason to hate Fandango, and that's because he made this dance craze.
See, I kind of see it the other way around. The fact that this is such a huge craze that WWE Creative is getting mad that this is that they're accidentally turning him face. And despite the mainstream appeal, they're trying to get Fandango to kill it. I just don't understand. You know, this is something that WWE has tried to force, and here it comes organically. Another one of my some more word wang for you there, Brian. This was organic. This was, you know, a bunch of fans decided to get silly and it caught on.
You're absolutely right.
Stamp Boy, if I may, I'm going to steal a term here. It just don't add up.
You're telling me. But then again, I'm not terribly surprised because remember, night after Mania Raw was largely a European audience. You're going from European who loves their chants and all that to a Southern audience who, unless it's Ric Flair, sits on their hands.
You know, they'll get some of that audience back since they'll be in London next week. And Fandango tried to maintain his heel heat by pissing off a few of my New York buddies by abusing Lillian Garcia on SmackDown. And allowing his creepy character, allowing him to get weird in the Fandango character to Lillian. This was epic. How did it feel seeing this live, Brian?
It was actually pretty cool. I mean, he got some pretty good booing going when he dropped Lillian like a sack of potatoes.
And in a certain flat in New York, you heard this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jim Williams. Great to have him on the show this evening.
In this case, it was Jason who was blowing a gasket over it. But the whole thing amused me because the one thing that, you know, people joke about, you know, this is such a stupid gimmick. No, it's not. Johnny Curtis is getting his weird, allowing his weird on with this character, and it's working. The problem is it's working so well that he almost turned himself face. And that song still sticks in my freaking head.
Do-da.
Yeah. So we might hear more of this as mentioned, since it was a largely European crowd at the Raw after Mania. What do you think of the racket we're going to get on Monday when they're in London?
They'll probably be dead by then.
Oh, are you real? Are you serious? It's going to go right back to pre-WrestleMania, or right after Raw after WrestleMania again.
Okay.
Well, they'll still have something. Still have something pretty big to cheer about. The fact that they're getting a six man tag of Trish's boys.
Woo!
versus the Brothers of Destruction and their pet satyr, Daniel Bryan.
Yes!
Brothers of Destruction and their pet goat.
Exactly. And just for that show, I want somebody to spend half the time calling him Judas. Thank you for somebody getting that.
I don't get it.
Judas the Betrayer is sometimes depicted with the head of a goat.
Ah, nice. I never thought I was the trivia junkie around here.
And since it was a pseudo-religious joke, I figured you were going to call me out on it.
Somebody's still in love with Judas, baby.
That's all right. But it's just fun for the fact that this was partially built on something that had happened the week before, when Undertaker came out to discuss the fact that he was dedicating the match where he killed CM Punk in the memory of Paul Bearer, to which then three guys in flak jackets walked down the lower level stairs. Undertaker did not require a microphone to ask the next question.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Perpetuating this wonderful six-man tag, which is one of the reasons why I will be very comfortable in front of my television Monday night. That and how goofy the crowd's going to be. Now, a little sad note that I had to put out there. It's my understanding that Raw was in Boston this week.
Was it?
No, it was in North Carolina.
It was in North Carolina, I'm sorry. I think, okay. The reason I bring this up is just because of the insanity this past week that was the Boston Marathon bombing and manhunt.
Oh, God.
I realize that WWE is a means of escape and a means to which we get away from horrible tragedies like this. But a certain Boston native didn't even allude to it Monday night. Am I just reading too much into that, guys?
Not really. Especially with, John Cena being John Cena. I wouldn't be surprised if they mentioned something Monday now, because everything's more or less wrapped up. And as of now, both suspects are either dead or in custody. We're not sure if the second one's going to survive or not. But, yeah. Yeah.
So, no, it's just kind of surprising, because they, you know, when Sandy Hook happened, they did something when Hurricane Sandy almost blew everything off the map. They did something. It took them a little bit, but they did something.
I don't think you have to see Cena say something. You just need like a video package with like WWE's thoughts are in Boston tonight.
Yeah, it might be.
Kind of acknowledge it.
Yeah, I was just kind of surprised that somebody who lives near Boston didn't say anything about that. And just a quick side note on this, I know several people who run more or less as a hobby. They do half marathons on the side, and they keep their bibs and some of their medals hanging in their cubicles. They're the first people I thought of when I heard about all this. Also, I do know somebody in Ohio who runs in what little spare time she has. She was not at the marathon either, but, you know, thoughts and prayers to Boston. Even though the dust has settled, you may have caught those guys, but do spend another day or two looking over your shoulder, because they're hoping, you know, if there's going to be another idiot, And I hate to think like this, but there's going to be another idiot who's going to say, oh, how safe do you feel? Watch this. Because that's unfortunately the way the human brain seems to be wired these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, quick, give me something happy to go out on.
Pony!
Funny. But we're between seasons. Actually, I'll just do this.
Pony.
Yeah.
I was told that I needed to watch Saturday Morning Slam because Justin Gabriel and Kofi Kingston had a match. And it was supposedly, it was said to be a very, very good match. My worry is just watching Saturday Morning Slam's camera work. And I just bring this up. I bring this up just because I got to see when before Tyson Kidd got hurt, Tyson and Justin were in a tag match, and they both did ring out moves that the camera cuts away from. And I'm like, that's not head and neck. It's just somebody tackling somebody. You don't cut the camera away when you're watching football. Ooh.
Although they did tape Saturday Morning Slam at the at Thompson Bowling, and I got to see Mick Foley up close.
Cool.
Which I don't think I had ever done.
I've had the pleasure of meeting him, and he really is just he's just a teddy bear, or a shaggy dog, depending on how you look at him.
He posted a message on Twitter. He said, someone asked him, he said, will we ever see one more match? He said, no, I'm done. He's officially retired from wrestling.
From getting
in the ring.
That's good. No offense to him. That's a good thing. He's done enough.
Yes. I mean, he'll probably still do stuff for the business and all that stuff for the company, but he's not going to get back in the ring ever again.
Right. And I'll tell you my Mick Foley story. I got to meet him at an autograph signing in Michigan. I specifically bought one of his children's books at this time. Rascal Lane had been out for a little while. In this children's book, anybody who's read Mick Foley's regular books already knows that he takes all this time to make fun of Al Snow. That Al Snow is his chew toy, his butt monkey. Mick Foley puts an Al Snow joke in a children's book.
What was the joke?
Okay, I'll build the story up real quick. Since Rascal Lane is supposedly about essentially the wrestlers as little kids, but completely in character, the story was about a bunch of them getting to go to an amusement park. The crew included Foley, Al, Triple H, Kurt Angle, I want to say Stacy Keibler, and somebody else. When they took a bus or a train to the park, and as soon as they got off, they all start running towards the gate. And the story keeps talking about how Al couldn't keep up with everybody because he was trying so hard to run. And the line went something along the lines of, and Mick, like he had done for many years, he went back to carry Al.
Oh, nice.
I called him out on it.
It kind of reminds me of one of my... Go ahead.
He thanked me, and when he signed it, he said, thanks for pointing out the Al Snow joke. I'm kicking myself. I could have brought this book with me to the Jerry Lynn thing and have Al sign the page. Just because.
Although that kind of reminds me of this one time where they did a tables, ladders, and chairs. Yeah, tables, ladders, and chairs, like TV special. And Mick was on top of a ladder and he threw a chair down. And for some reason, you hear a clang and you hear an ow. And they crane down. And apparently, he had hit Al Snow. He goes, "That hurt." And he just goes as nonchalant as possible, "Al, you haven't told a chair shot in years. Why are you starting now?"
Which is a follow-up to, I think Foley actually said this in a promo once, that Al lost his job with Lazy Boy because he wouldn't sell chairs.
Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't sell a chair.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. And actually, I'll go ahead and read this little bit. There we go. This is something else that'll put a smile on everybody's faces, so we can call this a show. Highspots.com is sponsoring an internet pay-per-view that you can go check out called Barbed Wire City. This is an ECW documentary that was shot at Viking Hall, aka the original ECW arena. Let's see, the director was interviewed for the Philly.com website. Is this the one? I wonder if this is the movie that was like 12 years in the making. They started making it just before ECW folded, and they decided to catch up with everybody afterwards.
Yeah, I think it got kickstarted.
And so I'd be very interested in this. A warts and all documentary, and it does have its own site. New York City will actually get an official screening, so that means, Jason, you have to go see it. And yes, I got a very, very definitive response.
Well, duh.
So. But if you want to take a look at this, you will go to www.barbedwirecity.com, and you will be able to purchase a DVD of the event. Do something for the fine history of a company that did so much for the wrestling world, no matter how many times Vince McMahon wants to step on it. So. Trista, are you still with us, dear?
I'm still here.
Okay. Before we call it a show, dear, did you have anything to promote?
Go Leafs, go.
Not going to promote your wares?
Nope. My what?
I thought you still... Aren't you selling scarves?
Well, sure, but it's April, so no one's really wearing them right now, so...
It snowed here the other day.
It snowed here today. No, nothing to promote. Go Leafs.
Okay. Stat Boy, do you have anything to promote?
Not terribly, really. Outside of things that the other guys are going to promote a little bit here.
Which takes me to Brian.
Yes, promote Pixel Nation on the CLWA The Network, which we are going to be filming just a few scant moments after this. All the other shows that we promote, all the other shows that we do on Pixel Nation and the CLWA through Network, watch them all, listen to them all. They will make you happy.
And if you don't have a computer handy, but if you have a Kindle, an iDevice, or a smartphone, feel free to stop by Stitcher.com and download their free app, where CLWA 83 Network has just about all of their programming there. So, regarding this show, it only goes back about a dozen episodes or so. But since this is our 100th episode in our current arrangement, that I say, hooray!
Woo!
Party.
Ain't no party like a Pixel Nation party.
So, I realize I probably should have done more for that, but I've already had to try two or three times just to get this show running. So, I am going to call this a show as of about now. For Statboy Josh Henniger, for Chair Swingin' Brian Henniger, and for our Canadian sweetheart Trista Timpson, who's already dreaming of Roman Reigns, wearing nothing but a smile.
Ew.
Yep, I killed her. I killed her. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have just been evil to my entire panel. Please tune in to our next show.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in!